Okay, our next case is going to be Appeal Number 21-2208, Philanthropist.com Incorporated versus General Conference Corporation of Seventh-day Adventists. Mr. Gillis, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. The question in this case is whether a domain name owner may seek to cancel a trademark registration when the registrant makes a clear and direct threat of an infringement suit. The answer is yes, under both Article 3 and the Lanham Act. Three key facts establish standing and the entitlement to a statutory cause of action. One, philanthropist.com owns the adventist.com domain name. Number two, the General Conference sent the cease and desist letter. Number three, the General Conference filed the UDRP action. I'd like to begin by discussing Article 3, standing and injury in fact. Injury in fact requires an invasion of a legally protected interest that is concrete and particularized. Philanthropist.com has a legally protected interest in the Adventist.com domain name. Domain names are property rights and their value is tied to their exclusivity. The General Conference invaded those rights by asserting a right to the same property in the cease and desist letter. It threatened to sue Philanthropist.com if it didn't immediately transfer its rights to the General Conference.
Changing gears a little bit, how do you have a legitimate commercial interest in the domain name, which is intended for resale, right, given that Mr. Everett testified that he would not sell that domain for any price?
He only said that after he received the cease and desist letter. He wanted to sell the domain free and clear of all other interests. He received a cease and desist letter that requested, or excuse me, the cease and desist letter says that its right can prevent third parties from using any similar mark or mark that is likely to cause confusion, such as the domain name located at adventist.com. So if he wants to sell that domain, he would have to disclose to any other person that another entity is asserting that they have a right. They asked for the mark to be transferred to them. So it's not merely that they even threaten litigation, but they are asserting a right directly in the domain name itself, and that's invading his protected interest. And additionally,
just to follow up, maybe you were going to get there anyway, but just to follow up on Judge Cunningham's question, my understanding of the requirements under Lexmark for establishing that you have a right to this statutory cause of action is that you have to establish, you have the burden to establish that you have, that whatever interests you have are within the zone of interest that the Lanham Act is designed to protect, and i.e. you need to have a commercial interest. So the fact that you have a domain name and you have ownership of that, that's fine, but you need more, apparently. You need to somehow show, for purposes of this administrative proceeding, that you have an ongoing present commercial interest. And if you're not using the domain name to sell goods or services, and you're not trying to sell the domain name, you've literally taken down the for sale sign, and you've refused to consider offers or interest from outsiders in buying the domain name, then what's the response to the question of how can we say you have a current commercial interest? You're free to own it, that's fine, but you also have to somehow establish some version of use in commerce, I think.
So, Your Honor, the domain name was listed for sale for 5 months up until the time of the cease and desist letter, and it continued for a period of time to be listed for sale at a much higher price. However, Your Honor, the zone of interest test does not require a continued the test is not a substantial efforts to sell test. I think the timing is significant in that after he listed the domain name for sale, months went by, received the cease and desist letter. He responded to the cease and desist letter, asserting that he did not believe that the mark was valid. And then within 2 months, he filed suit. So during this whole time, there's a suit pending. And the fact that...
It's his suit, though. His proceeding.
It is his proceeding, but it's interesting, Your Honor, that the board says they alleges that they failed to maintain the action. If he actually did sell the Adventist.com domain name during litigation, that's what would have created would have gotten rid of the his right to proceed.
I guess that's the question. What is the appellant's interest here? Is it to sell the domain name, or is it to cancel someone else's mark?
Well, Your Honor, it is to sell the domain name, and the evidence is
and
that
we have a window of time right now where he's. Appears to be actively refusing to sell the domain name.
Well, if I could just amplify beyond that, the problem is the board found, I think, as a finding of fact, that he's not trying to sell right now. Don't we have to defer to that finding?
I don't think you need to defer to that finding because I don't think that's a necessary finding under the zone of interest test and under the statute and the Lanham Act. The Lanham Act only requires a belief in that someone is or will be damaged by the registration, not actual damage. Under the zone of interest test, the zone of interest test under Lexmark is not especially demanding. Any benefit of the doubt must go to the plaintiff. And by receiving this, by the General Conference sending this...
At the same time, didn't Lexmark say, the Supreme Court, you know, we've already said we are bound to follow Lexmark in this context. That you know, a subjective belief isn't enough. You have to have something a little more objective in terms of establishing that you have a reasonable case for being harmed and that you have an actual commercial interest.
Right, Your Honor. And I believe that the evidence is that both before receiving the cease and desist letter, he intended to sell. And he intends to sell after this litigation is concluded. And that's...
Where in the record does it support that he intends to sell after the litigation is concluded?
So if you look at Appendix 1305, Your Honor, or 1304, so this is one of the communications that the board held against Mr. Everett, where during the litigation, an individual asked about it buying the domain name. And the response on 1304... from Mr. Everett, philanthropist.com, is, you know, thanks, that sounds exciting. We appreciate your interest. The name is currently involved in a proceeding before the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, so we'd want to wrap that up to enable you to own the name free and clear without any threat of legal action. So I think, Your Honor, that indicates that the only reason he is not actively trying to sell the property is that he doesn't want to be subject potentially to a lawsuit.
It's great that you think that, but I'd like to come back to the answer you gave me. We're not finding facts here. We're reviewing what the board did. And the board, as best as I can tell, found that he's no longer actively seeking to sell. He spurned two offers, and as you say, pointed to the very part of the record you just directed us to as evidence that they found sufficient to persuade them that he's not really trying to sell. Is your argument we don't have to defer to that fact-finding because they didn't have to say that? I'm still stuck on they did say that.
My point, Your Honor, is that even if he is not trying to sell during the litigation, that this court can still find that he falls within the zone of interest because he owns the domain name and another entity has asserted that it has the right to the domain name. And domain name's value is inherently based on the exclusivity. And if you have another party...
Do you have evidence of that, by the way, in the record?
Of
that the value of the domain name is based on the exclusivity?
I think that comes from both the McCarthy treatise, the Story case, and it's implied, I think, by the Booking.com case that the exclusivity is... of a domain name is significant. And I think it would be much in the same way as if someone asserted an interest in real property. I think that and I think that also goes back to whether you need actual damage or just a belief in damage. I think it is completely logical to that a value of a domain name for sale is going to be less when there is a third party who's asserting its own right.
I guess the concern, I mean, I understand your point, but at the same time, I'm struggling to try to think through what happened here, because the record looks like the domain name holder essentially was taking a position that I don't care how much anyone offers me during this time. I am taking a time out from commercializing this domain name because I want to see this proceeding through. So even if hypothetically someone were to offer me $5 million, it doesn't matter. And so it feels like the whole question of what is the correct value of, or potential value of this domain name is off the table for purposes of some other angle, which is to pursue this cancellation proceeding. And I think that's the concern I have, is whether philanthropist.com is in a sound enough position to make the argument that it wanted to get this cancellation done in order to increase the value of the domain name after the proceeding is over, when during the course of the proceeding it was taking actions that made it look like even if someone wanted to give a wild sum of money to them, philanthropist.com wouldn't care. And so that's what making me wonder if the commercial interest angle is a little bit gets lost in the argument you're trying to make.
Your Honor, I don't think that the reason that he wants to pursue this litigation is directly related to the commercial interests. He's not doing it. I know there's a lot of argument about spite and his reasons in that regard, but there's inherently going to be any animosity in almost any sort of litigation, in particular when you've been threatened with a lawsuit for treble damages and attorney's fees. So he's doing it tied to his commercial interest in the domain, not just in the value, but if he sells it, he doesn't want to be subject to liability when someone comes after him.
They would be going after the purchaser of the domain name, who ultimately puts it into commerce. And then by using it in commerce, that person would potentially be subject to a trademark infringement claim by the appellee.
And depending on the communications of the transaction, they might also then assert a claim against philanthropist.com. And I think that, Your Honor, just briefly going back to the zone of interest test, in Corcomore, this court said that the test wasn't that different from the prior tests. And the prior tests basically just distinguished between mere intermeddlers and self-appointed guardians of the registry and the general public. Here, philanthropist.com owns the domain name, and most importantly, the general conference was the one who brought the interest within the zone of interest by asserting its own right to the domain name. If I may reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. We'll hear from the other side. Mr. Ibrahim?
Yes, good morning, Your Honor.
Okay.
Excuse me. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I, along with Mr. Maynard here, are representing our client, the General Conference of 7-8 Venice. We agree completely with the Court's line of questioning.
Well, what if the facts were changed? What if the for sale sign was always up during the course of this proceeding at the trademark board? And what if also when the owner of this domain name received a couple email inquiries, was trying to negotiate a price, but then ultimately couldn't land on an agreement, and so therefore didn't end up selling the domain name to those two people. Would that be enough interest or evidence to show and establish that for purposes of this proceeding, philanthropist.com had a commercial interest?
No, Your Honor, it would not be. I think the record shows.
Because, under my hypothetical, don't go to the record.
Right.
This is my hypothetical.
My hypothetical shows that at a minimum, they were actively trying to sell the domain name. They were trying to commercialize the value of that domain name by trying to find a purchaser.
Your Honor, we don't think it would. And more importantly, is the second element, is they have to show some element of harm, even assuming for
Put that to the side, too. Let's go back to your answer of why you don't think that's enough for commercial interest.
Certainly. I think, you know, we looked at the Apple case, which this court put out and dealt with Article III standing, Your Honor. And we don't think they meet the first requirement, which is Article III standing in this case. And so I think they can't get to that issue, Your Honor.
Well, can we stick with commercial interest?
We can, Your Honor.
Okay. So do you need me to repeat the question?
No, Your Honor. Okay. You know, we don't know if it's going to be enough, Your Honor, to have that level, because being a domain name owner doesn't codify any legal rights like other types of trademark registration or trademark application, Your Honor. And so,
well, okay, that's going, I think, to proximate causation. But if you need me to, let me include in the hypothetical that the domain name owner received a cease and desist letter threatening the domain name owner with trademark infringement and all kinds of other allegations with asserting rights to an injunction, lots of damages and attorney's fees and everything else. Okay. Is there a commercial interest here when they're actively trying to sell the domain name during the time of the proceeding?
There may be, Your Honor. Under that fact pattern you talk about, there may be, Your Honor.
Okay, well, why not?
Well, I think
how would the scenario be such that it's not a commercial interest?
Well, I think, Your Honor, you know, if you look at the intent here, you know, there was never any intent to sell this domain name.
Just stay on the hypothetical.
Yeah. It may be, Your Honor. It may be sufficient.
Right. Why wouldn't it be sufficient?
I can't think of a reason right now, Your Honor, why it would not be sufficient. So it may be sufficient.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. Could be, Your Honor.
Okay. And, all right, let's change the hypothetical. What if the hypothetical is, okay, I had been trying to actively sell this domain name, but I've just received this very scary threat letter of litigation. And now there's a cloud over my domain name and its marketability. So I just need to resolve this threat. And once this dispute with this trademark owner gets resolved, then I can go forward and unlock the value of this domain name and sell it. It's not present day actively trying to sell it, but it's a plan in place to sell it as soon as the cancellation proceeding concluded. Could that be a commercial interest?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it is. This is an interest in a situation here that was created purely by philanthropist.com.
Your side did send him a threat letter.
That's correct, Your Honor, and we acted upon that letter by filing the UDRP action, which is the only action our client could have taken, because the mere ownership of a domain name in and of itself is not use in commerce. So our client couldn't have gone into court, and our client acted on the letter, and then our client didn't appeal the decision. So the matter was resolved, okay?
Now, are you representing today there'll be no further action against philanthropist.com, regardless of what they do with the domain name?
No, Your Honor. I think what we're saying is that based on the facts before us, just like in this court in Apple, their traditional business model has been to buy and sell domain names, Your Honor. And there's no indication that they would ever change that business model.
Right.
And
so if they sell tomorrow, are you agreeing you're not going after them?
Your Honor, right now, you know, we're not agreeing to that, Your Honor.
So the threat of litigation remains as we sit here. Correct?
No, we don't believe it does, Your Honor. The threat has to be based upon some kind of fact that would, you know, change. If they just sell the domain name and do it in and of itself, that's something that wouldn't be an actionable element. We wouldn't stop the sale of that domain name, Your Honor.
You demanded, this all started with you demanding that they give you the domain name for free. Are you no longer demanding that?
Your Honor, that demand has been acted upon, and as of today, that's correct. We're not demanding that as of today, Your Honor,
and
based upon the facts.
I'm sorry, so are you agreeing you're never going to demand that they give it to you?
No, Your Honor, I don't think we can ever agree to that. It just depends on the facts. As the facts are today.
And that's fair, so I guess I'm lost on why they don't sit there under the same threat that they had been sitting under when they got your letter.
Well, I think there are a couple factors. Number one, Your Honor, it has been been over 5 years since the letter has been issued, and it has been acted upon. Two is, you know, it's analogous, Your Honor, to somewhat statute of limitations. At some point, a threat of a letter dissipates. It just doesn't stay, active for eternity. Number three, you know, if you look at the Apple case, and they talked about this, you know, whether there's standing, there's no activity on their part that would in any way entice our client to change it. And so to answer your question, as the facts on this case, they have shown no damages in this case. They can sell the domain name, okay? Our client's rights are our client's rights. And by the mere sale of the domain name, that wouldn't trigger anything, Your Honor. But if they were to do other things, it could be possible, Your Honor. But that would apply to any fact pattern, I think, Your Honor, in terms of future activity, sir. Does that answer your question, Judge Stark?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So the sale of the domain name itself wouldn't give rise to any claim on your side of trademark infringement?
Well, that's correct. It's technically not a use in commerce under the Lanham Act, Your Honor, and that's the other element here, is that, yeah. You know, they keep talking about our threat. Well, our client sent them a letter.
But should any purchaser of the domain name then start using the domain name for commercial purposes, Adventist.com, then you would... I assume the church would go after that person?
I don't know, Your Honor. It would depend on the domain name, depend on the content, what they're using it for, depend on a variety of factors under the Lanham Act, you know, whether it's actionable or not, Your Honor. But the mere sale of a domain name, for example, if somebody were to buy it and use it for First Amendment, freedom of expression, criticizing an organization, you know, that's something under the law that's generally permissible. If someone were to use it for competing with our church, and, you know, causing a likelihood of confusion, Your Honor, I think that's a different scenario. But those scenarios, you know, in terms of what we're looking at, Your Honors, aren't before us, and I respect the questions. What is before us is Mr. Everett admitted he doesn't want to sell the domain, number one. Number two, he admitted the whole purpose of this proceeding is that he wants to get rid of our client's registration. It's more of a vexatious type of action. And then he's saying, well, you've got cloud over our client's registration, and you've affected the value. There's zero evidence in the record that the value of the domain name has been diminished whatsoever. Okay.
Didn't the board find that philanthropist.com was warehousing? So doesn't that imply that there would be a future sale of the domain name?
Could be, yeah, Judge Cunningham, it could be. But that's their business model. They buy domain names and they warehouse them. Sometimes they let them go, sometimes they sell them. But that is their business model, Judge, yes. But that in and of itself, again, isn't a use in commerce under, you know, the Lanham Act. And so they started this proceeding. Our client was done with it, and they started it. Now they're saying, well, we're the ones that have this cloud of title.
I'm not sure the commercial interest prong of Lexmark requires a formal use in commerce. It just says commercial interest. And so that's what we're trying to figure out here. Mm-hmm. If you're not using the domain name to sell goods and services, that's one thing, but maybe you still have a commercial interest if you're trying to sell them domain name.
That's a great question, Your Honor. You know, we don't know of any definitive authority, but I think, you know, you can look at it in an analogous manner, you know, in terms of if we allow the board's decision to be disturbed, not very practical of what is going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to open the door for all domain name owners to start challenging trademark registrations under the Lanham Act, when the only thing they have is, you know, a domain name and maybe some related activity going back and forth between some parties. And I don't believe, my 30-plus years of being a trademark lawyer, that's what Congress would have ever intended. I think it requires more than that. Some use in commerce, as the board talked about. Some sale of goods and services. Some content. Because domain names have two intrinsic values. One is selling it, possibly. And two is putting content or selling goods and services. They've done neither. They decided unilaterally, said, well, we're not going to sell it, and then they blame our client for that. Well, that's just not true.
The record correctly, for a certain amount of time, they were using the domain name to direct to the trademark boards website or the docket in this case. Isn't that right?
That's correct, Your Honor. They were.
So why, I recognize they weren't selling anything at that time, but why isn't that a sufficient use that is at least impacting commerce?
Sure. You know, we would argue, Your Honor, that's probably an illegal use because it's somewhat fraudulent in the sense that they're making it appear that, you know, they're somehow related to the TTAB, Your Honor. And so we wouldn't think that would qualify as sufficient use in commerce as is normally defined, you know, in the normal business standards, Your Honor.
Can I ask you a question I think I was asking Mr. Gillis? The board tells us certain things that I think you're happy with, like that Mr. Everett is not interested any longer in selling. Are those findings a fact? And if so, do we have to defer to them, or how do we review them?
You know, it's a great question. I think you have to defer to the findings of fact of the board under the relevant, you know, review standards, Your Honor. I think that we shouldn't disturb those, Judge Stark, unless, you know, they're clearly erroneous right here. And I think the board spent a lot of time looking at the evidence. And this case has gone on for a long time. They had every opportunity to present evidence of harm, of valuation decrease, and actual other activities, and they didn't, Your Honor. So I think we do have to defer to the board's findings, Your Honor.
Anything further?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Anything further?
I think that covers, Your Honor. Just to summarize, we don't believe they have Article III standing. We believe the board's decision is rock solid in every regard and shouldn't be disturbed. And we think that this court's recent decision in Apple is illuminative in this case in terms of the following. There was a UDRP decision in this case, which was final. And similar to Apple's case, Apple had a decision with prejudice. So they're both final decisions right there. Number two, we can't take any further action today because there's no use in commerce of their mark, just like in the Apple case. There was no further action that they could take. Three, more than four, almost 5 years have passed since the demand letter. I think we have to agree at some level demand letters dissipate. If not, you know, according to them, the threat goes on for eternity. It's just not a reasonable position. Additionally, there's zero evidence that the appellant intends to engage in any activity that may give rise to any infringement suit. Therefore, the injury is based on some future activity. That's similar to Apple. But the court refused on appeal from this court to say, you know, this is action. And we would respectfully request here that you uphold the decision of the board, because if not, I think we open the floodgates up for all domain name owners to start doing what the appellant has done here. Thank you, Your Honors, for your time.
Okay. Your Honors, as we just heard, the threat continues. In the cease and desist letter, the court, and excuse me, the general conference wrote, the domain name Adventist.com confuses and misdirects customers seeking the church's website to the philanthropist.com's website. They allege that is actionable under federal law. The timing issue, Your Honors, this suit was filed 2 months after receiving the cease and desist letter, and it's been in active litigation ever since. The suit was filed before the UDRP action was decided. It does not dissipate, the interest does not dissipate while a lawsuit over the interest is pending. And finally, Your Honor, just use in commerce is, as Your Honor acknowledged, is not the test. It's just a commercial interest, and we're not opening the floodgates. There's a cease and desist letter in this case, and that's what removes philanthropist.com from the general public and any other domain.
I would just like to better understand why we wouldn't be opening the floodgates. The only check would be, I suppose, whether the trademark owner cares, because if they care, they're going to write a letter, and then it seems the floodgates are open.
Right. Well, then they have to be careful about the letters that they send and make sure that the use is actually an infringing use. I think it is a stretch to say that redirecting to the philanthropist.com website is would be actionable under federal law, but that's what they wrote in their letter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is submitted.